my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. And that's the attitude we should have. But no matter what attitude the preacher has, whether we think his attitude stinks or not, if he preaches the truth, we're to listen like those people of Nineveh. That was a good lesson on Jonah. Mine is on Hezekiah in 2 Chronicles chapter 30 and verses 8 and 9. 2 Chronicles chapter 30 verses 8 and 9. He says, "Now do not stiffen your neck like your fathers, but yield to the Lord and enter his sanctuary, which he has consecrated forever, and serve the Lord your God, that his burning anger may turn away from you. For if you return to the Lord, your brothers and your sons will find compassion before those who led them captive, and will return to this land. For the Lord your God is a gracious and compassionate, and will not turn his face away from you if you return to him." Now Hezekiah, he was a good king. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord from the very first year that he became king. He opened up the doors of the temple that his father had closed. And he told the people not to be stiff-necked, but to yield or surrender to the Lord. And I titled this unconditional surrender. And that's what God wants from us. He wants us to have unconditional surrender. We don't set the terms of surrender. He does. So Hezekiah, he's ready to clean up the kingdom that his father had polluted. His father's dead. He's king now. And so he's going to serve the Lord. I don't know where he learned it. Maybe he learned it from his mother. He saw all the disasters that happened to his father. So he knew there had to be a better way. I don't know how he did. He knew it, but he did. And many of the kings before him were wicked. So he had the priests and the Levites cleanse the temple. And they cleaned it up. They began the first day of the first month, and they finished the 16th day of the first month. And then Hezekiah, he brought sacrifices into the temple again. He sacrificed 7 bulls, 7 rams, 7 lambs, and 7 male goats as a sin offering for the people. And while these were being sacrificed, the priests, again, they played the trumpets that they were to play, and the Levites played musical instruments, and the people were worshiping the Lord again in the reign of Hezekiah. And then the people brought sacrifices to the Lord, and they brought 70 bulls, 100 rams, 200 lambs, 600 bulls, and 3,000 sheep. So there was a great sacrifice at this time, and the people returned to the Lord. And Hezekiah, he wanted to celebrate the Passover again, but they finished cleansing the temple the 16th day of the first month. They were supposed to celebrate the Passover on the 14th day of the first month, so they missed it by 2 days. But God had made a makeup Passover. If you want to look at it, we're not going to look. In Numbers chapter 9, verses 10 and 11, if you were on a journey, or if you were unclean, or you couldn't, you had a good excuse, couldn't be just you didn't want to go. But God had made the second month of the year as a time that they could make up the Passover. And so they missed the first chance. So Hezekiah, he wants to make it for the second one. And so he sent messengers all through the land of Israel, clear up to Dan, the furthest north in Israel. He sent them clear down to Beersheba, the furthest south in Israel. If you want to look in the map in your back of the Bible, you can find Dan and Beersheba. So he reigned over Judah, but he didn't stop there. He went to where all of God's people were. Some of them scorned his messengers, and they made fun of them. But many of the people returned. Many of them from Zebulun and Manasseh, Ephraim, Issachar, and Asher. I think I got them all in there. But many of them came to the Passover, and they had already turned away from the Lord. Kingdom had been split. But these people wanted to return, and they did. So we want to look at why surrender unconditionally. So first thing is, so his wrath will turn away from us. God's wrath was on the people of Judah and Israel. And especially Judah, because Ahaz was a terrible king. That's Hezekiah's father. The king of Aram defeated him, took captives to Damascus. The king of Israel defeated him, killed 120,000 in one day and took 200,000 captives. We lost about 60,000 in the whole war of Vietnam, and they lost 120,000 in one day. The 200,000 captives, they did return. God sent a prophet and told them, you need to send your brothers back, and so they did. The Edomites attacked him, took away captives. The Philistines attacked him, took away captives. And the king of Assyria attacked him. So he had, from all sides, he's being attacked. Then you would think he would learn, but he didn't. He continued to reject God. He decided to serve the gods of Aram because they had helped the kings of Aram. But Hezekiah, he depended on the Lord. And when the king of Assyria, the most powerful king at that time, came against Judah and Jerusalem, well, he took some cities in Judah, was ready to take Jerusalem. And Hezekiah prayed to the Lord. And the 185,000 of them were dead the next morning. Hezekiah didn't even have to use his army. So we want to serve the Lord so his burning anger will turn away from us. If we don't serve him, he's not going to be friendly to us. The face of the Lord will be against us. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 9 through 12. 1 Peter 3, chapter, or verses 9 through 12. Evil for evil, or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead, for you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. For let him who means to love life and see good days refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile. And let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. God is going to be against us if we do evil. If we don't repent, he's going to be against us. If we want to be covetous and not tithe, he's going to be against us. In the kingdom, when his father was in power, the people didn't tithe. And the Levites and the priests, they didn't have any support. But when Hezekiah became king, the people started bringing their tithes. And there was so much they had to build some places to keep the grain and all the things that the people were bringing, as God had blessed them. God's going to be against you if you want to sleep with your boyfriend or your girlfriend. He's going to be against you. And there's plenty of diseases people get. And our nation thinks they're going to fight it with vaccinations, but they just come up with new ones all the time. There's new diseases that are coming out. You know, 30 years ago, we didn't have a lot of the ones we have. So if they want to keep up with the Lord, they're going to have to get smarter than him, I guess. But so is they're going to try to vaccinate your 9 and 11-year-old girls here pretty soon for HPV. It's not mandatory yet, but. So, don't be entertained with the things on television or the internet or what you read or wherever you want to find it. When Hezekiah became king, he didn't stop with restoring the temple worship. He removed all of the idol worship, even on the high places. And there weren't very many kings that removed the worship on the high places. When you go back and read the book of Kings, they left them. They were places of idol worship. Sometimes they were places of true worship to the God of heaven, but God had told them, you worship in Jerusalem, nowhere else. And Hezekiah got rid of all those. He was surrendered unconditionally, and he wanted God's wrath to turn away from them. And then number two, we want to surrender because God is gracious and compassionate to those who surrender to him. Let's look at 2 Chronicles chapter 30. Verses 17 through 20.
2 Chronicles chapter 30, verses 17 through 20. He says, "For there were many in the assembly who had not consecrated themselves. Therefore the Levites were over the slaughter of the Passover lambs for everyone who was unclean, in order to consecrate them to the Lord. For a multitude of the people, even many from Ephraim and Manasseh, Issachar and Zebulun, had not purified themselves. Yet they ate the Passover otherwise than prescribed, for Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, 'May the good Lord pardon.'" So many of these people came from hundreds of miles away. The land they were in was unclean because of idolatry. The temple had been closed for many, many years, and it's almost impossible to be ceremonial clean if the temple's closed and there's no priests and Levites to do the sacrifices. And the law of Moses said, if you're not clean, you can't eat of the Passover. And that was why God made the second one, because he knew there'd be some people who weren't clean. And so there was not much these people could do. They had less than a month to prepare for it. They had to travel there. Some of the things you were unclean for 7 days before you could eat the Passover. And so there wasn't much they could do. And if you didn't eat the Passover, what was to happen if you didn't eat the Passover? Anybody remember? You'd cut off from your people, right? So either way, they're doing what's wrong. But Hezekiah, he knew that they should remember the Passover and what God had done for them and take it part in it. And he knew that it wasn't what they wanted to do, to eat of it unclean, but he prayed for them. God was merciful to them. And God expects us to follow his laws, and he expects us to do what he tells us. But our laws of ritual, are they as important as having a clean heart? They're not. If you read, well, we don't have time, but many times God says, I'm sick of your sacrifices because your hearts are unclean. But, yeah, broken heart. And that's what these people had. They wanted to do what was right. And so God was merciful to them. And if we surrender, he'll be merciful to us. If we don't, he won't be. In Matthew chapter 23, Jesus had no mercy for the scribes and the Pharisees. "To you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint, dill, and cumin, and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. But these are the things you should have done without neglecting the others." So these guys were very careful to make sure they did the little things, but they forgot about justice and mercy, faithfulness. And when they were going to kill Jesus in John chapter 18 and verse 28, these same men that Jesus is talking about there, and he told that to them. He wasn't talking about them someplace else. When Jesus told them the things, he made sure they heard it. John chapter 8:28. He says, "They led Jesus, therefore, from Caiaphas into the praetorium, and it was early, and they themselves did not enter into the praetorium in order that they might not be defiled, but might eat Passover." So they didn't want to go into the praetorium because they might get touched by a Gentile and then they'd be unclean. And or something else might happen that they'd be unclean. And then they wouldn't be able to eat of the Passover. But what are they doing right there? What? They're going to kill Jesus. And we see why God had no mercy for those men. They were so worried about all those tithing, mint, and dill, and cumin, and making sure they didn't get cooties, that they forgot about what was right and what was wrong, right? So I need to remember what God wants for us and all of us. If I've been baptized for my sins, I eat the Lord's Supper every Sunday, but I'm a liar and an adulterer and a thief and a gossiper and whatever else I want to come up with, are those things going to do me any good? That won't save me one bit. Just like the Passover won't do you any good if you have all those things in your life. So God is merciful to those who maybe they haven't been doing things the right, but they're surrendered and they're working on cleaning it up. Sometimes it takes a long time to clean up a mess that you've had for 20 years. You can't clean it up in a few minutes. But if you surrender to the Lord, He'll be merciful to you. And God is merciful to those people. We see in the Old Testament, Naaman, he wasn't serving God like he should, but God was merciful to him. And he learned a few things, and he went back to his country a different man. The widow at Zarephath, she was a Gentile. And Jesus told the Jews both in his hometown about Naaman and the widow at Zarephath, and they didn't like it. Jesus spoke with the woman at the well that had five husbands, and the one she was with wasn't her husband. But she had a heart that wanted to know the truth. And if we surrender to him, he'll be merciful. But if not, he'll be like he was with the priest. In Matthew chapter 23 and verse 33, I'm sorry. Matthew 23:33 says, "You serpents, you vipers, how shall you escape the sentence of hell?" So Jesus told them right where they were going. So God is compassionate with us in that He provided the lamb for the Passover. And I wrote that with a capital L. You can't see my notes, but with the lamb with the capital L, who is that?
Jesus.
That's Jesus. John said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And Jesus is our Passover. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 7 through 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And verses 7 through 8. He says, "Clean out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, just as you are in fact unleavened. For Christ our Passover also has been sacrificed. Let us therefore celebrate the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." So Jesus is our Passover, and He's been sacrificed for us, and that's God's mercy to us. And then number 3, God will hear our prayer if we surrender to Him. Go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 30 and verses 20 and 27. 2 Chronicles chapter 30 and verses 20 and 27. So the Lord heard Hezekiah, and He healed the people. And then verse 27 says, "The Levitical priests arose and blessed the people, and their voice was heard, and their prayer came to His holy dwelling place, to heaven." So God heard the prayer of Hezekiah. He heard the prayer of the priests as they had returned to the Lord. And as we said before, the temple doors had been shut for years. Now they've been open for less than a month, and the people had traveled for miles to celebrate the Passover. And it was hard for them to be clean and ready for it that quickly. If you touched a dead person, you had to be unclean for 7 days, be washed or sprinkled with the water from the ashes that were from the burnt red heifer. If you had a child, you had to go to the temple after the days of your impurity were over and offer a sacrifice of 2 turtle doves or a lamb. So God heard the prayer of Hezekiah
He heard the prayer of the priests. He knew there was nothing they could do, and he healed the people. But God is opposed to the proud. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. You younger men likewise be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So God's opposed to the proud. He doesn't hear the prayer of the proud man, but he will hear the prayer of the one who's humble. In Luke chapter 18, we have the Pharisee and the publican. Luke chapter 18, verses 10 through 14. It says, two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax gatherer. The Pharisee stood and was thus praying to himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax gatherer. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get. But the tax gatherer, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, but he who humbles himself shall be exalted. So God didn't hear the prayer of the Pharisee. He said, see, he prayed thus to himself. And many times that's what we do. We pray to ourselves when we think that we're something pretty holy, something pretty special. That we're so righteous that God just can't refuse us into heaven. But those that are that way are detestable to God. In Isaiah chapter 65 and verses 2 through 5, Isaiah chapter 65 and verses 2 through 5, he says, I have spread out my hands all day long to a rebellious people who walk in the way which is not good, following their own thoughts. A people who continually provoke me to my face, offering sacrifices in gardens and burning incense on bricks, who sit among graves and spend the night in secret places, who eat swine's flesh and the broth of unclean meat is in their pots, who say, keep to yourself, do not come near me, for I am holier than you. These are smoke in my nostrils, a fire that burns all day. So God's talking about his own people. They were to be a people that were holy and set apart, but they were not. They continued to think of themselves as holy and very righteous, but God said, you're not. And you're like a smoke in my nostrils when you go camping and you breathe a little of that smoke. You're coughing and spitting and sputtering, right? You don't want that stuff in your eyes and that's in your nose. And that's the way it is with God. He doesn't want us to have the idea that we're so righteous. We're to be more like that publican. He was hated by the Pharisee and all the others. But God was with him. So we want to be surrendered unconditionally. In Luke chapter 14, verses 31 and 32, there's a battle that we have to decide if we're going to surrender or not to. Luke chapter 14, 31 through 32, he says, or what king, when he sets out to meet another king in battle, will not first sit down and take counsel whether he is strong enough with 10,000 men to encounter the one coming against him with 20,000? Or else, while he is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks terms of peace. So therefore, no one of you can be my disciple who does not give up all his own possessions. So we have a battle. We have to decide if we're going to surrender to. And God is the one that's coming with the superior numbers. And he has more than 20,000. But we're not going to defeat him. So we need to surrender to him unconditionally. Go with his terms, not ours. In World War II, it was clear to Japan
that they were going to lose the war. They were ready to make peace, but they wanted to write the terms of surrender. And the U.S. said, no, we're not going for that. We're going for unconditional surrender. And Japan refused them. So, you know the story. Japan got atomic bomb dropped on them on Hiroshima 3 days later on Nagasaki. And then they decided to agree to unconditional surrender. Now, that, they knew a superior force was going to destroy them if they didn't surrender. Now, we think that's a lot of power, two bombs. But compared with what God has, He has tremendous power. He can wipe out whole countries, or He could wipe out the whole world. Well, He will, but we want to surrender to Him. He has the superior force, and He expects unconditional surrender. And that's what He's always going for. When we read the Bible, we see Pharaoh. He's always trying to negotiate the terms of letting God's people go. He wanted to let the men go. Well, and then, but make the children stay. Then He decided to let the people go, but not their flocks and herds. And finally He gave in to the superior force of God after the death of the firstborn. But then He decided to fight again. Tried to go chase them down and bring them. Surrender. But we have to surrender, or we'll end up like Pharaoh, being completely destroyed. So let's surrender.